Okay. We get it.
Just make things right.
I'm going to see Oasis on Sunday.
Wow.
And I thought we should discuss as we listen to your favorite Oasis song.
This is my favorite Oasis song. And like I was telling you, Mona, I like everything about Oasis except for the music.
Yeah.
But I do have to say that Liam, he sings the H-E double hockey sticks out of this song.
I feel like it's like a, you have to be into it or not, like Bob Dylan. Like,
yes, but unlike Bob Dylan, Bob Dylan has a variety of sounds and he goes through all these changes where Oasis kind of always sounds the same. I mean, right? Can you distinguish one song from the next?
I feel like you're like trapping me. You're setting a trap as my husband's listening.
No, I mean, look, like I said, Liam Gallagher is hilarious. He is very cool. And
the hair, the clothing,
the walk. He walks like a monkey. Yeah, like a monkey a little bit.
But like a monkey in a gang, leader of the pack.
He's wearing the Mac. He's got a monkey and a Mac.
Brilliant clothing, haircuts.
Great.
Humor.
He talks like that. It's so funny because he's like, oh, wait, it was all kid, isn't it? And then when he sings, he doesn't sound anything like that.
It's just, ah.
Don't go away.
Anyway, I cannot wait for Sunday.
It's going to be a scene. I would love to go. Like, no fooling. I would love to. Plus the, who's his opener? Oh, it's even worse.
The Verve and Cast.
I don't know that, but I know the Verve.
Worse? That song.
Yes. What is the other song that they have?
They had many good songs.
Sure. I'm yet to go deep on it. I don't know. Many things about, I like their, Noel and Liam's, attitude towards each other.
They're going to start, pop-up shops in the U.S. for Oasis merch that you can, I guess even if you don't go to the show, you can go get the merch. And there's one in Soho, one in D.C., one in...
Wow. And so it's like a t-shirt with, Snoopy, but he's wearing an Oasis bucket hat or something like that.
I love Oasis. Also, there was a random... bucket hat for imprint, generic.
Yeah.
If you want to make your own merch.
Yeah.
It was left here for me.
It's right there.
It's very pointed.
I have to I'm restraining myself from leaping over the counter and grabbing that bucket hat and putting it on my head and running out and not doing a show this week.
I really enjoyed last week, Marco Polo.
Oh, yeah. Very contentious episode.
Do you know what? Haters gonna hate.
Yeah, well, it's contentious among, me.
It's all right. We can't win them all, Bucci.
What is your favorite Oasis song? I mean, I don't know what time it is.
maybe 56. Champagne Supernova? Cigarettes and alcohol, honestly.
That's a good one.
I sing that one to myself often, in the southern.
Yeah. Cigarettes and alcohol. I don't know how that goes, actually.
Totally tone deaf.
I really like, what's the guy, what's his name? Wishbone, the guitarist? Bonehead, yeah. He's my favorite.
Wishbone is like his salad dressing side of his family.
Yeah. That's what he feels like when the Gallagher brothers are pulling at him from both sides of his body.
Yeah, exactly. I was there.
Yeah. Crack.
Apparently, I don't know if I can say this on the radio, but people are throwing cups of yellow liquid that's not beer at the shows.
Wow.
So they were like, you got to have a bucket hat. I was trying to assemble Oasis drag to go.
Sure.
I'll find a jersey, a bucket, blend, Mona, just blend.
Right, yeah, just blend into the scenario. There's going to be, from what I've seen, there's everyone is doing that cosplay. They're all of a sudden doing the, but that's,
I cannot wait. It's going to be really fun.
When I see Guar, I'm wearing a full monster mask. I love that.
For sure. Cape.
I stink.
I'm so excited. Spooky season is almost here.
Yeah, don't call it that.
Okay. You know what? I've got a minute and a half left with you, and I would like to know what you're going to miss most about me while I'm gone for 2 weeks.
Oh, I'm going to miss these conversations with you. I love talking on the radio with you, Mona. We got to have you back And we gotta do another weird
I say
topic.
It doesn't manter often.
Right.
And nobody understands.
Yeah, that's that was on my t-shirt from a couple of years back, and it has kind of become a whole thing. People love screaming it.
It doesn't manter. Me. Yeah, like you walk down the street, paparazzi, they're like, it doesn't manter.
It does. It sounds like an Oasis song.
Yeah, it doesn't manter.
Anyway.
Well, it's been a pleasure
sure
and a privilege.
Has. Sure
I'll,
has.
I guess, kind of make my way out of here. Who listens to WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org? You do, G.
Who listens to Mona?
You Dona anymore. You don't. Not for another 3 weeks.
Woo!
I gotta go on that.
That's a hot one.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Last time on Bucci.
Marco.
Hello.
Marco.
Hello.
Sweetness is kind of bitter. And my, like, wrinkled hand will reach out to the stranger who finds me on the street. Anyway, let's stop talking about my deathbed. You ever play Marco Polo? I'm talking to you. Call up and tell me my cat's gonna be okay. I would appreciate that. But primarily, we're playing Marco Polo on the radio. Mom!
What do you want?
Jim! Let's play some Marco Polo.
Do I have to be blindfolded in some way?
Yes.
Oh.
Are you supposed to stay in one place?
No!
Marco!
Polo!
What?
Terrible
what was your
idea.
Other idea for the show?
This was it.
Jelly?
Polo?
Polo. Oh,
Polo.
Marco.
Polo.
Is that you? I got you. Oh my god, I grabbed your hand. How about that? Oh, jeez!
I mean, that sounds like an awesome sport.
It was a good sport, until Marco turned out to be a huge racist.
Marco.
Whoa, easy does it there. You're going to be Marco, and I'm going to be Polo. Wait,
okay.
What did I do last time?
Yeah.
I gotcha!
You got me.
You're made of paper. That's weird.
Yeah, it needs to be clear who's who, I think.
Marco! What was that?
You have to say Polo.
Marco.
What are you feeding this cat?
Polo.
His nose is all snuffly. You said that his nose was not snuffly, but it is.
Are you familiar with the phrase, jumping the shark?
Marco!
Polo!
Marco! Polo! Oh, you can't catch me! Grab me in the dark, under the bridge. Oh, Anthony! Anthony!
Curtis!
Chapel!
Rowan!
Chapel!
And now, this week, on Bucci.
Marco!
Polo.
Gotcha! Right. Hold on. Let's just hold on. Everyone's champing and chomping at their respective bits. Waiting to listen to Bucci. Hold on. All right, I gotta take off the windsock that Mona uses, which is shaped like a heart. And I gotta put the one that Bucci uses.
Bucci.
Which is shaped like a person saying Bucci. It's the only windsock that has a word bubble coming out of it. And that word bubble goes like this.
All right.
There it goes. Hey. Hey, everybody. That's a rhetorical statement. Don't answer my friggin' statements. That's not a drink, babe. That's my neck. My neck has orange cola coming out of it. Oh, that feels a lot better. I've been trying to unlock that knot all day long. It's like a baby's fist. Like between my shoulder blades there. Right before the show, like 10 minutes before the show, I was like banging my back into the doorknob to Studio A to kind of like massage it and like, you know, kind of flatten it out. And I was doing that for like a while, and then station manager Ken walked by and saw me, and he gave me one of those looks, you know, that says, why are you using a doorknob to massage your neck? And then I gave him a look that said, I don't know. It's the only thing. And then he gave me another look that says, hey, you want a massage, just ask me. And then I gave him a look that went, that's fine. Thank you very much. And then he gave me a look that said, all right, I'm driving. I'm going home. Been a long week. Oh, I gotta get the right kind of pen here. I can't use a clicky pen because then people complain that they hear the clicking all the time and they think, oh, it's a cicada or something. There's like a friggin' cicada in the studio. Imagine. Ba ba ba. So Ken had a busy week, and so did Bucci.
Trust Bucci.
Just trust it. You know, people in the chat over there at WFMU.org are saying this guy had a regular week, uneventful. He spent a lot of it watching Frasier. But that's not true. I was super bad. I had like errands to do. I had to pick up like 7 of my cousins at camp this week. They were all at camp. They're all at summer camp, and it was basically all getting out on the same week, this past week. And so I had to pick them up, you know, because I'm still not entirely sure about why. But I did, and of course they were all different. They didn't go to one big camp. They went to all sorts of camps, you know, horse camp, archery camp, barista camp. My little cousin, Bucci, he went to barista camp because his parents seemed to think that that's where his life is going. So they send, well, you got to learn how to do that, like, foam oak leaf in the latte. And he did. He learned how to do it. In the car, he was showing me that he knew how to, like, you know, he could do that. But he didn't have a cup, so he just poured it into my cup holder in my Dodge. And it looked pretty good. What else? John Waters camp. Mona recommended that to me, and I pushed one of my cousins into it. You got to go to John Waters camp. Camp. One of my youngest cousins, Bucci, she went to Pasty White Legs camp, where it's all the kids just lie under a patio. And just with their legs sticking out, and they just see if they can get a tan. and that's the camp. So she came back with tan legs, but the rest of her body looked bleached, like bone-bleached, dead fish in the sun kind of white. So I don't know. Next year she's going to go to tanning torso camp. Man, I got to write that down. I'm going to forget. Tanning torso camp. I'll just write TTC. I'll know what that means later. So all sorts of creative camp. Which, you know, these modern camps, when Bucci was a kid, camp was just a place where you got poison ivy and then spent the whole time in the med tent with a cool towel over your pus-filled eyes. That was the camp that I went to. Imagine carving that out of wood over the camp entrance. Just imagine it. Or the camp where you got ostracized, which is a scout camp. But now it's all fun and games. Fun and games and archery and zip lining into a clown mouth. All sorts of fun. But, you know, when I was driving them home, they were all, you know, all different things. They said, like, what was your favorite part of camp? I screamed. And they said, well, our favorite time of camp was in the evening after dinner. We would all get out of our tents and sit around a nice campfire and tell stories. Tell spooky stories. You know, we all love that. You can just remember. You're sitting there, you know, sitting on the edge of your bed with your patent leather shoes and your tuxedo waiting to go out for the night. But just remember, you were once a little fat baby who loved sitting around a campfire telling stories with your friends. Stories about what? That's right, Bucci.
Bucci.
They all love telling stories about the DJ. All their favorite ones. The time when Bucci wore track pants to his wedding. The time when Bucci wore track pants to his honeymoon. The time when Bucci wore track pants, you know, every day for 5 years now. The time there was a blurb about him on Reddit. That was a good story. Real haunted. Got like 4 upvotes. Solid. Time when, they talk about the show, you know, oh, remember the Marco Polo show? Boy, that was a show. And then they say, oh, remember the time when Mrs. Bucci came on the show? And they didn't talk too much about that story. They actually, like, that was a very short campfire story. They kind of breezed over that because it's not very interesting, actually. Blah, blah, blah. So I said, you know what? Those are very interesting, but I will tell you a ghost story. I'll tell you some legend, one of the urbanist ones. So, and this is the story I told them. I'll tell it to you. I was gonna, you know what? I was gonna do this dream charcuterie show. You know, I brought my cutting board, and I got all these. Plums and mortadella. That's it. And I was going to build the perfect charcuterie board with you, but we're not going to do that. I guess I'll just tell you this. Maybe we'll do that at the other second half of the show. But right now, I'm going to tell you a little urban legend. So, once upon a time. There was a guy who, this is what I told my cousins. So imagine you're my cousins and you're all sitting in a row. There's like 8 of you stuffed in the back of my Dodge. No seatbelts, baby. And this is what I said. Once upon a time, pay attention. Once upon a time, there was a guy who worked at a fur manufacturing company called Steve's Fur and Feathers. And he had gotten this job and he loved it. And he worked there as a as a stapler. He was, that was his title, Senior Stapler. And all day long, he would staple fur arms to fur coats, feathers to hats. Ow, hit me in the eye. Hats to earmuffs, leather hides to plush owls and piglets and starfish. And all night long, he'd pull the staples out with his teeth, because apparently he was just supposed to staple price tags to the inner lining of the items and not the fur itself. Oops. He did that day after night after day after night after day after night after day. And then, one cold and rainy... Are you paying attention? One cold and windy day, his boss and best friend, Steve, took the man aside. The man thought Steve was just going to solidify plans to go see the new Naked Gun movie. But it was not that he wanted to talk about. Not. Steve told the man that his services were no longer needed at Steve's Fur and Feathers. Oh, let me guess, said the man. I guess I know. I'm going to be replaced by AI, right? Steve said, no. You're going to be replaced by AL. This guy, Al. He jerked his thumb over and there was a big guy leaning against the wall. He looked like a half-smoked cigarette, this guy. Unbelievable. That's Al, he said. He's starting today. Give him your stapler. And so the man reluctantly gave his staple over, and Al started like crazy. The man walked into the streets in shock. His eyes were wet with Sprite. He couldn't believe he had devoted most of this year to working at the Furrier, and now it was gone. He had a condo. What was he? How was he supposed to afford the mortgage and property taxes now? Without a job, his current wife would be paying for the whole thing instead of 98% of it. And as he walked the streets, he became more and more enraged. He was just full of rage and anger, and also Sprite, because he was drinking Sprite the whole time. But that didn't have anything to do with the with being fired. So he tried to put it out of his head. Are you listening? He tried to put it out of his head, but he couldn't. He couldn't sleep. He couldn't eat. He told his therapist, Steve, about it, but he was no help. He said, just get another job. I don't know what to tell you. It's a tough world out there. And so one night, the man went back to the factory, and the place was lit up like a real crappy birthday cake. And the man peered into the window, and he saw Al sitting on a bench, in his bench, stapling away. The man opened the door and walked in, staring at Al and the place where he used to work so 48-hour shifts. Suddenly, a Molotov cocktail was in his hands. Suddenly, it was lit. Suddenly, it was smashing against the wall. And with frightened, scary suddenness, the furs and feathers hanging on the wall burst into flames. The whole wall. An ungodly sound came from them. This is the furs making that noise. And then an ungodly cawing. That was like the feather part. Al fled in terror, but the man did not. He stayed spinning in a circle, sound of music style. Spinning and spinning in the conflagration. And then a beam snapped. And a rack of burning fur coats and feathers fell on the man, burying him alive. And then burying him dead. So after that, after the whole building had burned down, Steve packed up what was remaining of his inventory and just moved across town, Tribeca, where he opened a new business, Steve's Fur and Intimate Apparel. You'll know what intimate apparel is, you know, when you grow up. I shouldn't even be talking to you about... Forget I said that. This is what they say. They say if you walk by that warehouse and then walk into the ruins of the still unoccupied, ruinous, burned-down warehouse, there's a single fur coat hanging on a wall. And they say if you put your ear to it, you'll hear its heartbeat. And also you'll hear it plug its podcast. The end. That's a good story, huh? That's what I said. And they liked it. So that was the story that I told them. That one is as old as time. And there are others, you know? So I got to thinking about the nature of these urban legends and the nature of where they come from and what they mean. They come out of our ancient brains and they kind of are in our urban environments, our famously urban environments, and they become something like a representation of those environments. So, but a lot of these things, we've heard them a million times before, billion times before. We've heard the story of Bloody Mary, Candyman, a station manager, Ken, you say his name three times, and he says, I heard you the first time. All these famous urban legends that we've been telling for a long, long time. So I think this week, what I want to do is make a new urban legend. The perfect, the most scary and meaningful and thrilling tale with a moral and like a cautionary lesson tagged into the end of it. I want everyone to come together and let's see if we can scare the pants off each other. And then this will be in the zeitgeist. And the next camp that my cousins go to, they'll be sitting around the campfire telling this story. They better, anyway. So, that's after the break. Now, let's hear the tale, the old ancient tale of the alien tarantula that snuck aboard a ship and made its way to England, where it laid eggs in Big Ben. It's Sleaford Mods. Tarantula Deadly Cargo. Only on WFMU. Dropping lethal cargo on the ship.
Don't forget to call in on the topic. The topic of the day is...
Let's make a new urban legend.
So call in with your response now. 201-209-9368. That's 201-209-9368. One more time, 201-209-9368. And give Bucci your answer now. Now, back to the music.
Music.
European poos are deadlier than the alien mums, it's true.
Jeez, that song just ends. Wow, listen to that loop. Perfect. Hey, this is Bucci.
Bucci.
Coming to you from Studio A in fabulous downtown Jersey City. That was, you just listened to Tarantula Deadly Cargo by Sleaford Mods off of their album Key Markets. How about that? Sleaford Mods. I do care for them. I like them. They got interesting, you know, is an interesting guy. Came late in life. Kind of got fame late in life, which I wouldn't know anything about that. But, and then that other guy who stands next to him and vapes, his beat maker. I don't know. Maybe he's the British RZA. He just kind of keeps churning out these beats. They never change. They're the whole beginning of the song, the end of the song. They just never go anywhere. But they're catchy and, you know, and then he's like political, which is great as well. Anyway, that was that. 201-209-9368. We're not talking about the Sleaford Mods or any other bands that came out of their wake that sound just like them now. We're talking about urban legends. We want to build the perfect, most urban, most scary urban legend possible. Everyone gets to contribute a little bit until we have this big unwieldy monster that comes out of the woods and frightens a semicircle of kids. When I was in camp, in the brief time between having, not having poison ivy and having poison ivy, I would have these other things called screaming, waking terror dreams. And they came out of such a story where I was freaked out. They told some story about some hook, just a, you know, that hook that was attached to a scary old witch and it would come and hook you. And so I would go to bed and my head would be filled with this story, and the combination of the story and the sleeping in the woods and all these kids bullying Bucci caused this kind of, you know, I would have these waking screaming nightmares where I would get up and then run into the woods. And that turned out, so I would wake up in the restroom, you know, kind of in a hunched against the wall, shaking but still asleep. Or I would run into the woods and the camp counselors would have to go get me. They told me this story where I ran screaming into the woods asleep and they grabbed me and picked me up, and my little legs were still pumping. Is that a Bucci adage?
Bucci promise.
No, it's a Bucci promise. Not sure how that works. So I'm used to being freaked out in the woods, but like I said, all these stories, like the Bloody Mary story, you spin around, you say Bloody Mary three times with the Long Island iced tea lady. If you spin around and say three Long Island iced teas three times, you know, that she comes out of the woods, Candyman, Candyman 2, the TJ Maxx peeper, all these stories. So I want to build some new ones, more modern ones for our generation. 201-209-9368. What do you have? No imagination all of a sudden? You don't know how to tell a story? You don't know how to create a mood? Bucci can create a mood all day between from 6 to 7 p.m. on Fridays.
Bucci.
I can't tell a new story. I guess I can tell another... What's another urban legend? The, what is another one? A girl with too many fingers? She wakes up and she has, every day she has a new finger. They multiply every day. She goes to sleep, there's a new finger. And then all of a sudden they're not even growing out of her hands. The shadows that talk, where the person's shadow starts flipping them off. And they always turn around like, was that shadow flipping me off? Did you see that? And your friend Steve says, I don't know what you're talking about. Call her, Yugabuchi. No, you don't.
All right.
Hey, who's this?
It's Zach or Rod. I'm doing it
all. Oh, hey, Zach. How are you?
I'm doing fine. You sound bad.
I sound bad? What? Why? What
like, emotionally.
Well, yeah.
You're weak, you know. It was just an average week for you.
Well, it was a busy one. I mean, I like hanging out with my cousins, you know, the youth. You know, it's good to hang out with the youth.
It is. You going to make any youth? You going to start a family?
What do you mean by start a family?
Well, expand beyond plants and cats.
Oh, you mean have a child?
Well, yeah, I mean, human is another way to expand a family.
No, I'm not going to have a family. I have too much Bucci to do. It would be unfair to the children. Because daddy would always be, where's daddy? Oh, he's in the closet doing Bucci.
What
does
about
that,
pop? What you does open that to mean? Pop or papa? Or?
What do you mean am I open to pop? You mean...
I mean, you picked out daddy, that's what you were going to...
Oh, instead, yes. Your, well, that's what I imagine they would call, but I hope they would call me Bucci.
Bucci.
But,
yeah,
but
you just, you know, it's like a reverse dog
this
training,
is off
right?
Off topic. So are you starting out our urban legend stories by to the story of the DJ who was an absentee father? I mean, that's a...
That's the story of WFMU in the 70s and 80s, isn't it?
Why just the... Okay, I don't even want to know why it's just the 70s and 80s. All right, Zach...
Well, the modern ones, they're back involved. You know, the kids, they at least know the broken family.
But that's because of ChatGPT, though, right?
Yeah, well, if you load it up, if you can get a hold of your parents' diaries and stuff, it gets scary, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I got a hold of my dad Bucci's diary, and let me tell you, you want to have urban legend, that was a haunting one, because it started when he was like 16 and it ended when he was like 40, and when he was a 16-year-old, he was full of poetry and dreams and jazz music, and, you know, he's writing all these florid... semi-pretentious letters to people, and then at the end of the series of letters, he was just he had lost all the, you know, it was just basically I'm fine on all these letters. Stop writing me. It just got a little sad there. What am I talking about? I don't want to open up my real life. What I want to open up is this new fantastical. Urban legend that I'm trying to build, which apparently is just going to be me and you arguing on the radio. The story of the guy, the DJ, and the guy who calls the DJ arguing and talking about children. Is that
That's you brought up the children earlier. You talked about your cousins, the youth.
Okay. So
you sent us down this spiral.
Us. Do you have a setting or an idea for an urban legend, Zachary?
Oh, yeah. I would do one. Some sort of campus.
Okay,
you
so...
know, could be corporate, could be college, university.
So it takes place...
No, hospital.
It takes place at a...
campus.
Okay, a campus. So once upon a time... there was a campus. What's the?
Yeah, leave it open. Let's you know, see where it goes, and then it could get nailed down.
Okay.
But a campus. Everyone understands the concept of a campus, right?
I thought I did, but you mentioned hospitals and stuff. So you
hospital. It's a place where there's more than one structure. It has like a minor.
All right, campus.
You could live there almost.
Okay, so it's a campus, and it's what, off season, on season.
Right now? Oh, it's right now. It's the cusp of autumn.
Okay. You're on the cusp of being hung up on. And now, there he goes. Right on the cusp. Call Rigabucci.
Hi, Bucci. It's Franco.
Hey, Franco. How are you?
All right.
Good. You having a good week?
Fair to middling.
Yeah. Did you have to take any of your little cousins or nephews and niece or nieces anywhere? Do you have to drive around in a Packard, picking them up and dropping them off?
You have a Packard?
No, I was asking if you had a Packard.
No, I don't have a Packard.
That's a shame.
I have a conventional vehicle.
Oh.
Nothing collectible. Right. Okay.
All right. I forgot your name. Franco, the setting of this new urban legend is
okay.
A campus. So let's say it's a college campus or maybe a school. Let's say high school high school campus.
Okay.
Like a big one in big Southern California style where they shot Melrose Place or 90210. Like one of those famous Hollywood campuses maybe.
You're probably talking about Santa Monica High School.
Yeah, is that the one where all the, you know, where Can't Hardly Wait and, you know, The Faculty and all those other movies were filmed probably?
Probably not, but that's the best I could do.
Okay, college.
College-bound.
Okay,
students?
So high school campus, big high school campus.
Big, like 4,000 students.
Hollywood.
Body.
Let's see. I like the idea of a Hollywood campus where all the stars' kids go to. But let's maybe.
Okay. How about Fairfax High?
Okay. Doesn't need.
Let's say it's Fairfax.
Okay, Fairfax High School. So this urban legend starts at Fairfax High School in California, right?
Right.
Okay. What else are you bringing to the table? I stapled myself to the chair. Go ahead.
All right.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
The student who is an overachiever and bullied by the progeny of famous people, that his father is just a scientist at Caltech in Pasadena, which is, you know, which is
write all this down.
Saying like he cleans the toilets.
Let's
compared to people that are, have like a, you know, parents who are in a sitcom.
Right.
So he wanders off at lunchtime. He can't stand to eat lunch with these people.
So it's a bully child. Hey, Franco, can I just underline something? So we're talking about this is a story about a bullied, isolated child, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So the bullied, isolated child, what happens then?
Well, he leaves the campus because he can't stand eating with all those people that are making his life miserable.
Bullied kid.
And he goes to the Whole Foods. And he goes for, you know, just to comfort himself.
Goes to Whole Foods.
Someone mentioned that it was fall. Okay, it's already, there's a nip in the air. Not really.
Don't say
I mean, but come on, let's put that nip in the air. There's never a nip in the air in fall.
Stop saying. All right.
Okay. But on this particular day, there is, for the sake of this story.
All right.
And he wanders over to where, you know, they have the counter with ready-made soup.
Okay, so this is, let me just get this thing. I'm trying to reiterate so people listening can follow along and call 201-209-9368 if you want to participate in this urban legend. We're building a new urban legend for the 20th century.
Yeah.
And, all right, so a bullied child goes to Whole Foods, gravitates towards the soup section.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
He looks in all of them, you know, the vegan lentil, that tomato bisque.
We don't need to, like, then, you know what? A lot of urban legends don't want to get bogged down in a lot of soup talk.
There has to be some suspense.
Right.
So
what soup he gets?
The zucchini and noodle soup, and there's this face comes bubbling up.
Okay, I like this. So there's a face bubbling up in a pot of zucchini soup. Zucchini soup.
Yeah.
All right.
Gluten-free noodles. And he says this to the frightened, face. Bullied, hungry student. I've done my part.
Oh, okay. So what does he say? What does the face...
What does the face in the soup
say? To the boy.
Bucci.
Okay, that's a good one, Franco. You got us started and finished. Thanks.
All right.
Goodbye. 201-209-9368. We're telling stories of urban legends. We're going to build a new one. Are you out there? Your hands on the doorknob. You're about to go clubbing. A good 7 o'clock club. And but you're like, wait, before I go, let's call Bucci. Let's start this Friday night right, and let's build some folklore. So right now, we have a high school campus, which is apparently not even really. It was just a jumping ground for the rest of the story. A high school kid who was bullied. Well, I don't know why he was bullied. Maybe he was asking for it. Let's see. Was he asking for it? I'm going to write, some kids bring it on themselves. Question mark? Exclamation point. So this kid, this bullied child, no name, goes to Whole Foods. And he goes into the soup section. It doesn't have to be Whole Foods. It can be the soup section of maybe a mom and pop, maybe a local business. Maybe this bullied kid should be supporting a local business instead of a conglomerate owned by a monstrous billionaire in a puffy vest. So maybe he's supporting a local soup emporium, like, I don't know, I go to Whole Foods for my soup. So he goes to the soup section, he opens up one of the pots, he's gonna steal some of this soup, probably. He brought his own garbage bag. And just as he pulls the label out to do this, a face bubbles up. That's enough. Bubbles up, and its mouth opens. Bubbles up from the soup, its mouth opens, and says what? We might never find out. 201-209-9368. Sometimes, I don't know. Sometimes I think that you can't hear Bucci while you're at the club, even though they're plugging him in over the PA. I feel like you are in the bathroom doing Sprite. We can have all sorts of, I was thinking, what can this, so the face could say, I was talking about, when I was another kid, back in the day, I heard the in Rhode Island there was a story of a band, Drop Dead, whose songs were so short they may never have existed. And I said, oh, there was this band, a grindcore band called Drop Dead, and their songs were so short, if you blinked, you missed them. And they say that this band is still out there grinding away. 30 years, they're so good, Drop Dead. Caller, you got Bucci.
Oh, hello, this is Chris from Ridgewood.
Hey, Chris from Ridgewood, how are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing all right, how are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. Depending on this call, it's all on your broad shoulders, Chris from Ridgewood. So let's see how it goes. So right now, you've been following along what we're doing. You know what we're looking for here, or do I have to go back over everything?
No. I know exactly what the face in the soup.
The face in the soup say, which could be the name. The face in the soup. All right, go ahead, Chris from Ridgewood. What does the face in the soup say?
Face in the soup. He tells the kid.
Not necessarily a man. It's just a face.
Yeah. He's the student from the school.
Okay. So the student says to the face. Is that what you're saying?
No. The soup. The soup man, the face in the soup.
Gotcha.
It tells the kid.
Okay.
He says, "Give me your phone," and he's saying that he wants to be the next big TikTok influencer, and the only way he can do that is by taking the kid's phone into the soup.
Okay, so the soup face is going to create its own, wants to create his own content. He wants to be a TikTok star. But he doesn't have a phone, and so it's bubbled up to the surface, not to frighten the child, but to see if the kid has a phone, and so then he can generate more soup content.
Exactly.
What's the most creamiest soup? It'll be, I can see the soup face now, holding up its, you know, saying, "Hey, I'm going to make the easiest borscht that you've ever seen, and it's only three ingredients." And then it will tell the viewers how to make something like that.
Even like that, I was almost imagining the face in the soup like wants to do like dances and like lip sync.
Oh, it's more of a, it's not going to do, okay, so it wants to do what's, okay. So the face goes, do the voice.
Oh, give me your phone, kid.
Okay. Real gruff face. Okay, and then and the kid drops the phone into the soup.
Yeah.
And then he hears the, and then he immediately starts doing some content, some dances.
I'm not even sure if he just immediately does the dances. I almost
So the soup has legs and arms, and or is it just kind of sloshing around in this pot, and that's kind of the way soup dances?
Yeah, it's just kind of sloshing around, like making ripples and waves and whatnot.
I see. And that's going to blow up? You think that in this environment, in this saturated TikTok environment, you think that's going to break through?
No, I don't, but the soup does.
Bucci.
The soup does. Well, I hope it works out for the soup. Okay, Chris from Ridgewood, I like this. Because maybe it'll go down the line. We can tell a little morality tale about the dangers of getting sucked into the influencer culture and the brevity of that thing.
It's an urban legend for the modern generation.
Right, the 20th century. All right, thanks, Chris from Ridgewood. I appreciate it. That's a good suggestion. And I do mean suggestion. None of this is in. None of this is campfire ready yet. Bucci's got to polish this thing up. Probably rewrote like 98% of it. Okay, 201-209-9368. Well, we talking. We did. A call dropped, which is understandable. You got things to do, but call up 201-209-9368. So far, we have the urban legend. I wish I had creepy music. Do I have creepy music? I don't think so. The urban legend is a story of a bullied child. Let's see. All right, this is the campfire. Once there was a kid who we got a call. Caller Igabuchi.
Yeah, this is Miss Double G.
Who is it?
Miss Double G.
Miss Double G?
So no, Ms. Like Ms.
Yeah.
Mrs.
Okay, Ms. Yes, Ms. Is that Ms. What is the second part of after Ms.?
Double G.
Okay, Ms. Double G. All right, Ms. Double G. M-I-Z Double G. What do you got? You want to contribute to this urban legend that we got going
yes.
on here?
Yes, Yeah, I would.
I need another piece
so
of
the soup does get really popular.
Okay, so the soup has now blown up. So, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, and now he has his own line of soups at the grocery stores.
So we haven't really nailed down the content. What is the soup thing doing to get to blow up so?
Yeah, well, he was doing his dances on TikTok.
He was doing dance. His sloshes. Let's just call him his sloshes.
Yeah, he was sloshing around. He got really popular. Everyone started doing the slosh in nightclubs.
Doing the slosh in the nightclub. I like that.
He was on TV. He has sinister plans.
I see. So he's getting bigger and bigger, or it's getting bigger and bigger, and all the kids are doing the slosh. Could you, I know we can't see you, but could you maybe do a little example of just so we can all picture this sloshing dance?
It's like, whoa.
All right. Check. And, all right. So, and then what? What's the ulterior motive that this soup thing has, do you think?
Well, once he blows up and gets into stores, everyone that eats it starts getting really sick. And it turns out he actually hates TikTok. Oh. And he wants to hurt everybody that uses it.
Store. Okay, so he uses his fame on TikTok to open his own soup store. So now present the soup monster opens his own soup store, but the soup is poisonous. He uses his viral nature to create an actual virus or something, a viral outbreak. It's so ironic.
This links back because on campus got killed because he choked on soup.
Who did? The boy?
Well,
I feel like the boy has been lost in this story, but that's okay. You know, it's now about the soup monster, no longer about the boy. But I mean, maybe the boy is the boring part of the story. Okay, so the soup monster has started to, has a lot of, go ahead, who's choking on soup?
Well, everybody's choking on soup. But the professor had choked on soup at the campus, that's why he needs to get back at everybody, because he doesn't like young kids because, you know, no one saved him when he was choking.
Wait a minute. Okay, the soup monster is a professor? It's a dead professor who died and then it was buried in soup or something like that? And now he's coming back?
Died.
All right. He died. Okay. Boy, all right. Thank you, Ms. Double G. I appreciate you calling. It's good to hear from you that you exist.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye. Ms. Double G. Okay. All right. So, boy, look at all these pieces of paper here. A lot of them just have curse words and written on them. But that was from before I got on the radio. So, all right. So there was a... Wait, hold on. Once, there was this kid who was bullied. We don't know. Maybe he was bullied because he deserved it. But to escape his bullies, he went to a Whole Foods. And he did the only thing that makes him comfortable and happy when he's after being shoved against a locker. Let's loop that, eh? He went directly to the soup aisle. And he opened up the label, the soup, and it was this zucchini thing. Which was new, they were trying the zucchini soup out. And he took the label out, but before he did, there was a face that bubbled up from the bottom of this tureen. And, it said, "Can I have your phone? Can I see your phone for like 2 seconds? And it reached its soupy little hand, which was basically a soup hand, but had the zucchini fingers, and the boy gave him his phone for some reason, and the soup monster said, "Yeah, great, I'll be right back with it," and then sunk back into the soup, and the boy was like, "Oh, God, what? No!" But the soup monster had plans for this food, from this phone, cell phone. Once he had it, it downloaded TikTok. And immediately started creating that content. and he was going for all the glory, and he was trying to avoid the thimble of glory that, he was trying to get that thimble of glory that all influencers are going after. And it started doing a you know, what do you do to get viral on TikTok is do a dance. So I started doing this dance called the slosh, which is basically it's sloshing around. And sloshing to the right and sloshing to the right, and it blew up. It blew up! And it started, everyone started doing the slosh. And it was, you know, and it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And then it was interviewed. It went on that Saturday morning CBS show with The Sun. I don't know what the name of that show is. And it, you know, well, I've never seen us. Tell us about how you came up with the slosh. And the super would go, well, just look at me. I'm sloshing around like, oh, man, you turned a negative into a positive. Be a thing you didn't think with it. You got legs. You didn't even think that you, you could do it, but you did it. And the soup said, well, I got some plans for, I got an announcement to make. And they said, what? And they said, and the soup monster said, I'm opening a new store, and it's going to be called Soup Soup. And it will feature all the soups, and it'll be delicious. Because I, you know who knows how to make a soup? A soup does. This loop is one of the worst loops I've ever had. All right. So everyone started flocking to the soup soups, and they loved it. It was so creamy, and if it didn't want the cream, they had like a regular chicken broth based, and they had vegan, and they even had zucchini soup, which was the kind of soup that soup was. And, but soon, something obviously happened very unexpected. People started getting sicker and more sick and sick. And they started dropping dead from this soup, because the doctor would cut them open, and this kind of gross soup would pour out of them, and it was noxious, and it smelled terrible. And they said, this soup is poisoned. And the soup, in its little tureen behind the counter, went... Because that was his plan all along. And it had used social media to further its wicked little plan. And then the ending is a little confusing, because it turned out the soup was actually the ghost of a professor on the high school campus. And he had choked on soup. And it had, I really wish I wasn't saying soup so much. It choked on soup, and then it revenged itself because of that. It wanted, like, well, if I choke on soup, everybody's got to, which is so selfish. Also, I don't even know how you, what are you, choking on a meatball? Is that a Bucci adage? No. And so we don't have, I don't feel like this is the end of the, that's enough of the campfire. I feel like this, oh, here comes Billy Jam. How you doing?
Good, man.
Rattling in. So I feel like this urban legend is not campfire ready. I feel like if we told this around a campfire, people would be a little disappointed. I feel like they're like, what's the end? What's the moral? What does this tell? You know, the only thing I can think of, it's like, you know, the noxious pointlessness of TikTok dances. But like, that is not, first of all, I mean, they're very fun to watch. But also, that is not really, I mean, that's pretty pat. It's a kind of a boring observation. Oh, TikTok dances, they aren't so great. And also, there's this, you know, maybe it's about letting hate eat away at you like so much bisque, you know? And you blame things that are beyond your control, and you take your actions out, all the hate and your own angst, you take it out on everybody else. People just want to have a nice bowl of chowder, the white chowder.
Can I say something?
Go for it.
I got angst in my pants, and I want to dance.
All right. So thanks very much, Billy. And that's the end of the story, except for the very end when they all gather around and lean forward and they go, WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online and all the time at WFMU.org. Up next, the man, Billy Jam. Put the needle on the record. What are you on here, Billy?
Two.
Oh, you're on turntable two?
Yeah.
Who listens to Bucci? You, Ducci.
I do.
Who listens to Bucci? What's he doing? He's out. He's Patrick. He's Swayze. I'm Billy Jam. I do not give a damn. And I don't care for digital no mo. What do you mean? I mean, my laptop is on the fritz, so I'm going to be going from the computer here in Studio A at what station? WFMU? No. It's called Put the Needle on the Record. Today, going digging deep into the history of Bay Area hip-hop rap music. And playing a ton of vinyl, analog. No digital today, well, except for the playlist on the computer in the WFMU studios. Shout out going out to Tom and Julia, Scott Williams, and everybody connected with the radio station called WFMU. So it's all Bay Area, going back now with vinyl. What you're hearing in the background is an instrumental from the Bums. We'll be hearing the vocal in a bit. Bums, B-U-M-S, Brothers Under Madness. Anyway, so as I was saying, what we got here, first one kicking off this Bay Area. This is part one. I'm just going to do a ton of this because this is my specialty. I've been doing this Bay Area thing from day one in hip-hop. So this one's from Black Dynasty, taking us back three decades ago. It's Deep East Oakland. Black Dynasty featuring Dangerous Dame, Spill It on the Curb, the great Dangerous Dame, and also Drew Down on WFM. You know.
Keep your getting these stuff. I've been up and I've been down.
bumping, sitting at the long red light. It's night, my Dana's like shining hella bright. My knuckles keep spinning, brothers keep grinning, but I don't give a damn, cause the brother straight winning. I dip to the left, now I'm back towards the right. Made a left off High Street and then I smash past Fremont High. Us in the O, we ride rallies to flat caps to rallies and rallies on Dunlops. The next step is some Z. No diamond in the back, just a sunroof, please. I'm off the roof saying trick, this the five in the fifth lane, doing about 50, going deeper to the east side. And ain't no stopping till I have to. And when I have to, I'm stopping for a six pack of brew food. And go pick up the dame and see what my folks from the town got to say.
All these busters need to come to their senses. I'm from the town where the brothers be relentless. It's called the O. As if you didn't know, brothers slanging yayo out to make they pay yo. But they ain't trying to hurt a soul. Where they go to always keep them pockets on strong, and they never gonna empty them. They got broads on Pablo and they pimping up all kind of tricks of the trade. So tell me why you think they need a job to get paid. The game is not a whitey industry, it's made for the blacks, strictly for gorilla seat. It's called Max Sauce. I know you wanna get it, you can't buy it at the store. See, we was born with it. I got a bone to pick, so I'ma pick a bone. Do almost any damn thing to get my spiller. But I won't take from a brother even though I done took, because I know that I lie, we'll go by the book. And if I do lots of wrong, I'm having damn faults. But if I do lots of good, I'm coming up, yo. It's just the rules and I'll be true till I die. You're disrespecting the dame, I'm taking two to the eye. Now tell me, why do the rap sound so damn sexy? And why do these player haters always cross me? But I ain't tripping cause they can beat Compton, the savage beats in the wildest part of all we call the deep. Yawning as I rise up from my pillow, stretching like a weeping willow. On the east side we ride from the morning to night. I'm slipping on my Nike slippers to the bathroom, I glide as I wash my face and then I took a leak. Pulled out my Flintstone toothbrush just to brush my silver teeth. What a relief, mirror, mirror on the wall, who do you see?
He said the coolest player of them all,
looking right at me. Slid on my 501s, I got them sagging kinda baggy. A Eddie Bauer sweater cause that khaki look is tacky. Giving my thanks to Allah just to see another day. The hoes are blowing up my pager.
Kareem, come out and play.
That's what they say, sorry Hoogees, I can't say. I gotta ride the foothill strip in my 7-tray. Just peep out what's next, check it out, I'm about to flow. Jumping in my photo ship because it's time to G.O. Striking through the road of 20s by the Jumo spot. What's the word on 23rd? I heard my peoples got shot. I seen Bob and Boomer in my 20s spot and Rick the Ruler. Cruising through the swamp, sipping on a single scooter. About 12 o'clock, I hit the detail shop. Gabbing on my flip, I'm on the skeezers all on my jock. They wore Daisy Dukes and leather boots and Campbell saw tops. I seen my partner Pretty Will wiping off his Benz drop. I hit the street zip, ripping and dipping and gliding, sliding, riding. I went on 96 on sunny side, yes, I was siding on them G's and bows. I seen flipping Big Vesta on the 12th of September doing the first school semester.
Oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, just give me just one more hit.
I went to the Alvin Grove and Blinky fired up a split. I went by 85, I seen the FROG.
Another ghetto story coming from the dynasty.
Oakland, California. Shout out time, Celeste in Smalbany, Chili Mac Bagoda in Oakland, California. Common, Hyperdose, Diana de los Mortes on the deck, Bina Homeboy in the house, Richie in the SCO. I know. The SCO is across the bay from Oakland.
When it was summertime,
Scary X.
Oakland Street, man, I wished it would rain, but the sun kept shining on me. My brother, when the winter came, alone with the storm.